it's a time for reflection. It's time to look back and look at what happened with all these different genocides. It's holding discussions, forums where people can learn more about the nature of the crime of genocide, and hopefully that people will, at the end of the month, be more willing to commit themselves, whatever way they can, to join forces and try to do some work, whether being prevention or helping the people who are still in great need.
How have your experiences and the lessons learned about human nature influenced your determination to share and teach others about such a condition?
It's pretty much impacted all my decisions to go public about what happened, because when I first came over here, I found out that most of my classmates and teachers didn't know about it, and I felt compelled to inform them so that at least somebody knows what happened to us, and hopefully in the future that prevention will be the road to go.
Now, you were quite young, and you were trapped in Kigali with your husband while you were pregnant and threatened with death. How were you able to escape Hutu persecution?
I wasn't really lucky to escape per se. They just didn't get a chance to kill me. They thought they had time, but they lost the city and didn't get a chance to kill me.
How long did this go on that you were in hiding?
For the entire 3 months.
What kept you alive and what gave you the resolve to approach this tragedy with a positive outlook?
One of the main support that I had was actually to have a family that helped me to hide. The second thing is that I was pregnant and I didn't feel like I had the responsibility just for myself. I had the responsibility for the child that I was carrying as well. But also the rumors that a military operation on the way to come and help, and I found out later on it was a rumor, but when I first heard it, I didn't know it was a rumor, so I pretty much hang on one more day each day, hoping that somebody will get to us. My husband, unfortunately, didn't make it out. My child made it out. She was born during the genocide. She's well. She's almost 15 now.
Now, Western countries failed to overcome the great physical and logistical obstacles involved to do anything to prevent a genocide. How true do you think is this lesson today, and do you think it has changed significantly since Rwanda for other areas of the world?
Yes and no. Today is, of course, the genocide in Darfur, and that shouldn't happen because the lessons from Rwanda have not yet been learned, and I do believe that there's greater awareness now about what happened in Rwanda, and you could see more activities by different groups and schools, but that's as far as changes goes, that is really what is happening.
Do you think the continuation of Hutu forces living and fighting in neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo still presents a threat to the security of Tutsis living in Rwanda?
Absolutely, absolutely, because these are the same people who killed our families, who killed our friends, who killed our neighbors. They do not wish to see a world that has any Tutsis in it. So for us, I see that there is no remorse, there is no realization that actually what they have attempted to do was wrong. They're still continuing with the agendas that they had when they started the genocide, and as long as they are still able to get supplies of arms and ammunition, we will not really have a peace. They have to be disarmed and should not be in a position to fight.
Now, how serious is this compared to the progress that Rwanda's made over the past 15 years, bringing about greater harmony between the Tutsis and the Hutus that are living in the country?
No, I think it's really important to see that the people who are inside Rwanda, the Hutus in Rwanda, for example, are able to see the difficulties and the hardship that survivors are facing. Not all Hutus killed. Some of them did not kill. And they have a different view of what Rwanda is and the possibilities that maybe people can live together. But if you're talking about a group that is outside, that the last time they saw Rwanda is when they carried out the genocide, it's pretty much obvious that their view of Rwanda is completely different. But as time goes, we will hopefully see a different Rwanda. We will see maybe changes in ideology. It's going to take time, but eventually I'm hoping that at some point we will never see another genocide again.
What do you hope the United States government and the American public can still do to strengthen Rwanda's ability to protect its citizens from succumbing to ethnic violence?
I think the American people in general need to learn more about Rwanda. I think we should be reading about Rwanda in schools. It's such a big historic event that it should be taught in schools. But also, I think that even based on the progress that the country has made so far, I think people underestimate what it took actually to piece the country back together. I also believe that there are many ways to help. Some people will decide to help by joining humanitarian missions. Other people may do social enterprises. Other people may just go to visit as tourists. I think the more they can do to help the economy in Rwanda will eventually help the country in the future to avoid similar situations. I think what happened because many people could not even identify the country on the map. I think there will be more voices that would know that Rwanda is not just a name on the map. It's actually a country with people, and those people, they have a culture. They are pretty much just like any other person, you know, here or anywhere else in the world. They're human beings. So I think the more we know about people, hopefully the more we can protect them.
Well, you're taking part in a program for Genocide Prevention Month here in the United States, which is being observed in the month of April. What do you make of genocides of the past 60 years all occurring during the month of April? What is the significance of this?
I have no idea. I wish I had an answer to this. I don't know how it happened this way, but for whatever reason, it happened that all the genocides have something in common when it comes to the month of April. I am just hoping that more people will pay more attention and that the genocide prevention movement is given highlight, even the media, because most people don't know about it, and I think it's better to prevent than to go in after the conflict had erupted. If we can prevent conflict, I'm much happier with any effort that can be put forward to prevent. And prevention takes time and takes effort. And I think there has to be some programs that exactly make sure that these atrocities don't happen. I think we still have to look at the impact of the genocide on the survivors.
How do you feel about the Obama administration's commitment to gaining a diplomatic solution to the Darfur crisis? Will it work, and will other countries be faced with the same dilemma of having to commit troops to a far-off place like Rwanda?
I favor the idea of talking to whoever you have differences with. I think diplomacy is a good starting point. I also believe that if diplomatic solutions are not making progress, in the meantime people are dying, there has to be a plan B. I would love to see more commitment. I think that some people are more committed to prevent such atrocities, but it's not enough. We still have a long way to go.
Do you think that the Darfur crisis has helped focus greater attention on the needs of people today in Rwanda, or has it overshadowed public attention so that not as many people around the world are helping Rwandans today?
I don't know if it really put a shadow over Rwanda. I think most people, when they talk of their food, they reference Rwanda, which I think is an indication that the same people who are highlighting Darfur are actually familiar with what happened in Rwanda. I don't know if Darfur shadowed Rwanda, but I think there are people who have been committed both in Rwanda and in Darfur, and they're trying to do their best. But when it comes to the needs, of course, our needs in Rwanda different from the needs of people in Darfur. Still have a lot of help that we could use if we got the help, actually, for survivors in Rwanda. But I think in terms of the priorities, I think the people in Darfur will still have priorities. They're still dealing with a genocide. But at the same time, you know, people have to keep in mind that just because the genocide was over in Rwanda doesn't mean that the lives of people, you know, the problems have been solved. It takes time, as I said. Some of the trauma from the genocide, some of the medical and physical needs will manifest themselves after quite some time. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done. Survivors are still living in conditions that are not appropriate. There are many needs that have not yet met. And, of course, the reality that the genocide ideology is not gone, even 15 years later. And we're also facing another issue that people are starting denying that this genocide actually took place. As we try to recover and piece our lives together, you know, you can't really fully recover when you're still faced with basic needs that are not yet met, and with also the people who are denying that this genocide took place, actually.